Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to continue to be with you, those of you who've been listening already. And by the way, I'll remind you that I'm broadcasting live from New Orleans. I'm in New Orleans, Louisiana, down here with the SBA. As you may know, I'm a member of the National Advisory Council. And so that group is congregating here in New Orleans to have one of our annual meetings to talk about what we can do to help small businesses, to help the SBA do a better job of helping small businesses. And so we're doing it in New Orleans. And later today, I'm going to actually take a tour of really all around New Orleans to see some of the stuff that's going on, some of the rebuilding that's going on. I'll be reporting on that tomorrow. I look forward to telling you about what I found down here. David Dossie is not in New Orleans. He's still in Ohio. He's our good friend and the resident intellectual property attorney in our brain trust. And he's here to talk to us about something we haven't talked about ever, maybe. If we have, it's been a long time. David, welcome back.
Morning, Jim. It's always good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Typically, when you join us, we're talking about intellectual property and how to protect your brands, how to secure your property, your intellectual assets, and things like that. But today, you've got something else on your mind. What you got?
Well, today, a common question that we get is, you know, we help a lot of small businesses, and small businesses, as you know, are agile and can introduce new products and services often much quicker than large companies. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways they like to advertise is to say, to compare their product to another brand, that our product is just as good or better than this brand and 25% less, let's say.
Right.
So that generally falls under comparative advertising because, mm-hmm. in the strictest sense, comparative advertising is using another company's trademark often or logo or brand name, let's say, to compare your products with their products.
Mm-hmm.
And many people are skeptical or worrisome on how much trouble can they get in for doing this.
Some of the ones we know about that many of us have seen would be like the Pepsi and the Coke taste testing commercials.
Absolutely. Another one I always laugh at is Miller Lite. You know, their commercials specifically attack Bud Light for the amount of carbs and and cleaning products you see all the time.
Remember the one though where the sub sandwiches, the Subway sandwich, where the person they give the person the opportunity to select which sandwich they liked, and they didn't always turn out the way that they kind of had fun with that. Anyway,
right.
There are a lot of different kinds like that, but you have to be careful and be very deliberate and proper, really, and in the way you feature other people's or that you identify other brands, don't you?
Absolutely. You often talk, you know, branding is such an important part of small businesses.
Right.
And let's face it, no one wants your consumers to think that your brand is inferior to someone else's. So if one of your competitors is putting out an advertisement, you know, with your brand in it, people get hot under the collar real quick.
Right. Well, give us an example of how not to do it. What would be an example of what might get you into trouble?
Well, the most basic thing, premise to live by in advertising is your claims must be true and you must be able to prove it. You know, everything boils down to that. But there are several key considerations to consider to help you stay out of trouble. And many of them, small business owners, it's hard for us to sit back and assess independently these type of issues. So it's often helpful to have a third party do it for you. One of them is, you know, what claims does your advertisement make? It's easy to just say, okay, literally this is what I'm saying, but you also have to consider what your implied message is, because that can also get you in trouble. If that implied message is deceptive or misleading.
So if you in the way that you advertise without using any kind of facts, you just sort of cast aspersions on your competitor's product, that's an implied negative that you can get into trouble for.
Right. You can have all facts that are true, but if the overall message is deceptive or misleading, you can still get in trouble.
Sounds a little complicated, David.
Well, it's not easy.
My mentors in the marketplace over the years would say the best way to do this is not to even mention your competitor. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, plus some other ways that you can stay out of trouble but still get your message across when you're comparing your product with the competitor's product. And we'll do that again right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'll be right back with David Dawson. Stay with me. Procol Harum for you there. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend David Dawson, the resident intellectual property attorney of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust and my intellectual property attorney. But that's not the claim to fame that he really goes for, though, folks. He and his organization and his other partners have an outstanding intellectual property practice there in Ohio. David, give us your website, please.
It is www.invention-protection.com.
And, of course, you've got clients all over the country, I'm sure, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All over the world.
That's a cool part of doing business these days, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about comparative advertising and what you can and cannot say. And I reminded the folks before we went to the break, David, that the truth is, and I really believe this, the best thing for you to do is to extol the virtues of your own product and the things that it will do for your customers, your prospects, all the things that it will help them with, and let that stand alone and not get into a... Frankly, if I were a small business, I probably wouldn't want to get into us versus them. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, there are just some situations, small businesses. For example, if I made exhaust headers or performance exhaust, you know, the way to sell it is to say it improves the airflow 30% over factory exhaust systems or something of that nature, where you really just have to get into it to sell your product.
Okay, but if I say factory exhaust, then am I infringing on anybody by using that language?
Well, if you're selling exhaust systems for a Honda Civic, you better have the data to back up that it does improve airflow 30% over Honda Civic standard exhaust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're not necessarily saying their product is not good. You're just saying you come up with a better way.
Exactly.
So, and is that language important? I mean... Isn't it important that you use that kind of language that you don't say that the other company doesn't do a good job? You're just saying you think yours is better.
Right, and most of the times that's what you'll see. You're not going to see an advertisement for Miller saying Bud Light's going to make you fat. They're just going to say theirs is 50% less likely to make you fat or something like
right.
that.
Well, how does a small business prove that? How do we determine that how do we have the proof for that? How do we come up with something like that?
Well, you assess your claims. So you look at what you've expressly said, what you've impliedly said, and then also you might know something about this. What parts of the advertisement contain puffing? Or that's a claim that a consumer doesn't expect to be true. So if I said it cleans your carpet and it makes it smell like a fresh mountain stream, no one expects their carpet to smell like a fresh mountain stream. So you don't have to be able to prove that.
Oh, I don't.
But the other parts you do need to prove, and you have to prove them in accordance with whatever the industry standards would be for the test. So if it were exhaust systems, you would need to, have the proper equipment and data that Honda would use to test their exhaust systems. You couldn't go to Bubba's Garage and attach a tiny flow meter that you bought at Walmart for $50 and think that that would meet the industry standards.
Right. Okay. So, have you gotten into some things that are there some examples that you've run into with your clients that you can talk about without mentioning specific names?
Well, a common one that came up recently is with garage door systems, for truck docks, let's say. Garage doors for truck docks need to be replaced all the time, and everyone wants to sell panels that fit everyone else's doors.
Right.
So you want to be able to say that you sell replacement parts for these types of doors. And so you're not even really comparing your product to theirs other than saying yours will fit in this opening. This section will fit. So you just have to be careful how you're using their trademarks in a way that's giving them appropriate credit and not looking like you're affiliated with that company.
What about using industry averages? For example, if as you know, David, I encourage all my audience, any small business, to be a member of their national trade group, and to be involved in their industry, the national industry activities, so that they kind of know what's going on in their industry. And let's say the trade group publishes something like, the average life of whatever is 128 days, and you've determined that you can make yours last 168 days, where instead of mentioning a person or a company, you say, industry averages, as shown by ABC Industry or Source, says 128 days, and ours lasts 168 days.
Right, that's an excellent way to do it, and that, there again, it minimizes your cost because you don't have to go out there and test essentially everyone in the industry.
Right. Just use the other. This is yet another reason, folks, to know what's going on in your industry, what the other people are doing in your industry.
Exactly.
Yeah. David, give us your website, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find newsletters. You'll find information about our firm. There's a form where you can request information on all sorts of intellectual property issues, which then we'll email you newsletters and good books for inventors and small business owners. It's a good resource.
Check it out when you get a chance, folks. Invention-protection.com. David Dunsey and I will be right back. We got more to come after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Can you make the darkness bright?
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend David Dunsey as I continue to broadcast live from New Orleans, Louisiana, a year after Katrina, looking out over the Mississippi River here at the Crescent. I'm literally looking at the Crescent, from which this city got its nickname, the Crescent City. And David, the Mississippi River is beautiful. It doesn't look muddy. It looks pretty clear. I don't know if they've had a lot of rain down here lately, but it looks pretty good.
Makes you want to walk out and take a swim?
I wouldn't go that far. Makes me want to take a walk, but it doesn't make me want to take a swim. We're talking about comparative advertising. What kind of jams have you seen people get into when they've done comparative advertising and not done it properly?
Well, the main thing to stay out of the jams is you have to assess who you're comparing yourself to. Obviously the larger, more, you're usually comparing yourself to a larger, more well-known brand. And if it's a company that's known for being aggressive in defending their trademarks and their brand, then you need to walk a much straighter line.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is, you have to keep in mind that you can get in trouble without using a particular competitor's name, just by comparing yourself to all similar products.
I was just about to ask you about that. Let's say you had a home, a local steakhouse, mm-hmm. and you made some comment about the big box steak companies or the franchise steakhouses or whatever. You didn't mention anybody's name. You just talked about the competitors.
Right. And a good example would be our paper towels absorb more water than any other. You know, well,
right.
That's a pretty broad claim. You better have some pretty solid evidence to back that up.
So even though initially you might think, well, you know, I'm making a very broad statement. I'm not going after anybody in particular. Somebody in particular may take exception with that.
Absolutely, and that's a good resource for small businesses is the Federal Trade Commission, and they have a website, ftc.gov. They have a nice brochure. It's called Advertising Practices Answers for Small Businesses, and it's all frequently asked questions about things like this. And I'd encourage everyone to go there and read it. It's an easy read, and it's
can we download? Can we download that?
Yes.
Okay, like a PDF or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So give us that website again.
It's ftc.gov.
FTC.
Right, Federal Trade Commission.
All right, ftc.gov. Check that out. And what do we look for when we get there?
Just they'll have sections for small businesses, and you'll find all sorts of information on advertising. And this is just a brochure titled Advertising Practices.
All right. What if I said, in my advertising, I said, we're right next door to Walmart, or right next door to Toys R Us, or something like that. We use their name as part of the directions to get to our property. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Usually you can. That's a much finer line. As long as it's not a competitor, you're much less likely to get in a, you know, if I opened a Grease Monkey right beside Jiffy Lube and said, you know, come visit us right beside Grease Monkey.
Don't turn into Grease Monkey, turn into Jiffy Lube or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you're much more likely to get in trouble. But usually you can use other people's locations as landmarks for directions.
Do I need to ask them? Do I need to let them know that that's what I'm doing?
Well, oftentimes it's smart for small businesses to do that, and you hear it in radio commercials all the time because you're almost advertising for two businesses.
Right. So it actually is a good idea for them, but should I contact them? Should I say, I just wanted you to know that this is how I'm going to use your name in my advertising?
I would, yes. It's always smart to get approval ahead of time.
Right. But if you call up a big company, you know, you're going to get mired up with their attorneys, aren't you?
Right. Yeah. If you tried to contact Walmart for their permission to do that, you might not come out for a year.
So you might need to ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
Exactly. and those companies, you know, they're just happy to get their name mentioned.
Right. Right. So FTC.gov. Probably a lot of good stuff there for small business owners to check out. Probably a good site for them to spend a little time on, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, give us your website again, please.
It's invention-protection.com.
Tell us about that newsletter.
Well, we do it quarterly, and it has all sorts of articles relevant to not only small businesses, but large businesses and individual inventors that are just thinking about starting a business.
Is it free?
Yes.
All right, we like free. Hey, thanks, David, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, thank you, Jim.
David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen, and he is a partner in the firm Gallagher & Dossie. At invention-protection.com. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.